The question today is, what will happen when Jesus comes back and sets his foot on this earth? Now, we have dealt with in previous times about the second part of the second coming, and the first part of the second coming, which is called the Advent. It's the entire time that Jesus, appearance on this earth or dealing on this earth. And their first part of the second coming is the rapture, which is in the air, when Jesus just comes in the air and catches up his saints, goes back, and then there will be a judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then Jesus will mount up on a white horse. We'll read that scripture in a moment, and come back down and set foot upon this earth. How much time is between that, I cannot say exactly. Some people try to say 7 years, but it's not really biblical to do that. If we'll really rightly divide the Word of God, we'll deal more with that at another time. But what will happen when Jesus comes back and sets his foot on this earth? Well, the first thing the Bible says in Revelation 19, verse number 11 through 16, this is right after the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll read these verses and then try to discern some things about them and instruct us in that. But he said in Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was dipped with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now this scripture is in line here in Revelation 19, as we said, right after the judgment seat, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he'll mount up on that white horse and come back, and the saints of God are going to be with him. We will be with him. And if you notice, he said he had many crowns upon his head. Maybe those crowns that the saints cast back at his feet, and that they were given at the judgment seat of Christ. But at any rate, he comes back and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives there, and upon this earth, the Mount of Olives. Now, Zechariah 14:4 tells us a little bit about something that happens there. He said, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. In other words, going to be an earthquake involved there, and it's going to move when he sets his foot upon the Mount of Olives. I remember this was told back in, I guess, the 70s, in 1970-something. I don't know the exact year. I don't know whether this is actually so or not, but it was told by some of the prophecy preachers that the people of Holiday Inn were going over there in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives and wanted to build a motel. They did some studies, geographical studies and geology studies and whatnot, and they found a fault that was there under that mountain, and they would not build on that mountain. Well, I know the Lord can do what He wants, and He can send an earthquake wherever He wants, but yet the fault is seemingly, when God created the earth, the fault was there to where there's going to be a division one day, if that's so. If it's not so, there's still going to be a division, because God's Word said there would be. And so as a result, I could have told the Holiday Inn, they could go ahead and build the building of the Holiday Inn, because probably, more than likely, that earthquake will not come until the Lord Jesus comes back, sets His foot upon this earth. And that's the second part of the second coming, and there won't be any need for a Holiday Inn at that time, because Jesus is going to set up His millennium kingdom at that time. Now, it said in verse 15 of Revelation 19, there it said that out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And what this is talking about is, of course, the sharp sword is His Word. The Lord spoke this world into existence, and He'll speak at that day, and there's going to be great things happen, unusual things. Now, you see, as the judgment seat's going on in heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb after the rapture, here on this earth is going to be poured out the wrath of God. That's the the vials, the trumpets, and the thunders. Now, we don't know much about the thunders in the book of Revelation, but they must be pretty awful because God told John to seal that part up. Don't describe those. But still, that's the wrath of God. Thank God the saints of God will never have to suffer the wrath of God. And so, therefore, as that wrath is being poured out, we know that as those trumpets and vials and bowls or whatever you want to call them, and I believe they're one and the same, it's just a different kind of a, like the synoptic gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You've got to read all three of them to get the entire story. And I believe you have to deal with the trumpets and the vials, or the trumpets and the bowls, and because it says, in other words, something poured up on the earth, and then one describes how much of the earth is affected and what's affected. But one of those, down toward the end, is where the Euphrates River is dried up. And there for the unholy trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet all move and gather together a great army. And they come down across the dried up Euphrates River into a valley that's called the Valley of Jezreel, the Valley of Megiddo, the Valley of Armageddon is what it's called. And they're coming against Jerusalem, up against the throne of God, trying to overthrow everything God stands for. The devil's never been satisfied because of what he lost there, his position in heaven. But still, and he was, and I'll deal with that at another question, but about Lucifer, who was the archangel who fell, was cast out because of sin. He was cast out of heaven down to this earth. And, of course, he's the devil and Satan and Lucifer. We know him by that name as well. But still, we know that he's gathering this great army one more time to come against God's people and God. And as a result, when he does that, they come down this valley of Armageddon. Now, this valley is 177 miles long, and it's approximately 10 miles wide. And, of course, that's approximate figures. But as they come down there, there's going to be a great host in that valley of all kindreds, in a sense, that's left upon this earth after the rapture. They're angry. They repented not to give God glory, in other words, during that time the Bible speaks about when that wrath is being poured out. They gnawed their tongues for pains, but they repented not. And so as a result, that army is coming against God. And when the Lord comes back, and the saints of God are going to be with him. Now, I don't know, you know exactly how it says, but it said we're going to come back with him. His armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, in verse 14, Revelation 19, white and clean. That's saints of God. So we're going to come with him, but it's his battle. Now, it's already been won. You read the last chapter. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory today. But at that time is when he said it's finished on the cross, it's going to be consummated when he comes back and sets foot up there, and out of his mouth goes that sharp sword, his word. And when it does, it's going to smite those nations. And the Bible plainly speaks about that happening over in the book of Revelation chapter 14. When it says here, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, approximately 177 miles long and 10 miles wide, blood run in that valley to the bridle of the horse's bit. Now, I don't know whether the horse's head was high or low. It doesn't matter. It means all of the people are going to be destroyed because God is going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to consummate this thing upon this earth and usher in his millennium reign. And, of course, you know the unholy Trinity is out to destroy. So what does the Lord do at that particular time when he comes back with his saints? Sets his foot up on the Mount of Olives, that cleaves asunder, in other words, splits open, and then he speaks, and then that group out in that valley is going to be destroyed. You know what amazes me? I remember in the early 1900s when we had the Persian Gulf War, we call it, at that time, I think, and some people said, is this Armageddon? Is this Armageddon? No, it's not Armageddon. We know that Armageddon is at least 7 years ahead of us today, even if God begins to unfold the 70th week of Daniel. We've still got 7 years before Armageddon can ever occur. And you need to know your Scripture. Our problem today, we don't know enough of rightly dividing the Scripture. But what happens when he sets foot and that battle, all that army is destroyed? Well, you still got the three unholy trinity out there, which is trying to imitate God, if you please, the devil, the dragon and the false prophet, and the beast or the Antichrist is what's amounted to. But what happens to them? Well, the Bible says in Revelation 19:20, And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And you see, these two are the first two in the lake of fire. God takes the false prophet, he takes the beast, which is the Antichrist, and casts them into the lake of fire. And it's the first ones there. Nobody's in that yet. Now, man that dies without Christ goes to a burning compartment of hell. And of course, in this sense of New Testament, that's all that's in the heart of the earth is hell, or burning compartment. But that's like a county jail waiting for the great white throne judgment, where they'll be cast into the lake of fire as well. But here, these beasts and false prophets are cast in the lake of fire. But what about the devil? Well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1 through 3, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a season." And so there's the unholy trinity taken care of by the Lord himself. The false prophet and the beast cast into the lake of fire. The devil is bound for 1,000 years. And what's going to happen with the saved? The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's the millennium reign, if you please. Now, we got some people who believe we're already in the millennium. Some people believe that the devil's already been bound. I want to tell you, if the devil's bound, he's sure on the long chain, because he's alive and well, it seems, on the planet Earth. So when we're talking about this question today, what will happen when Jesus comes back and sets his feet upon this earth? I want to tell you what will happen when he sets his foot upon this earth. The rod of iron will go out, the Mount of Olives will cleave open. He'll speak, it'll be like a sharp sword going out of his mouth. Blood will run in the valley of Megiddo, the valley of Armageddon, 177 miles long, 10 miles wide. The beast and the false prophet will be cast in the lake of fire. The devil will be chained in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the saved will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years in what's called the millennium reign. May the Lord help us to understand these questions. I beg you, if you got questions, you're honorable to ask them. Please send your comments to us. I appreciate the comments that I've had and the response we've had, but I'd like to have more of you get involved in asking this question. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.